Lord Jesus, your word is life. It's light. It's a path. It's fire. And it's a hammer. It's also a pillow. Lord, there is no end to the words to describe how amazing your word is. Wish we can speak with the tongues of angels to proclaim the greatness of your word. God, I pray now, God, that same understanding do all have who are holding that book in their hands. Bless, God, with fervency, with desire, with strength to follow what we read, to accomplish what you set before us. God, I think about that movie when the king said to his father, I just want to believe as he believes. God, give us that same desire to believe. To believe, to really believe this word has all the answers to life. Thank you, God. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, the Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Please give me your attention. Let me explain this to you. There is a handwriting of rules against you. And so many struggle, stumble, avoid. The Old Testament is the Word of God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, man, every place that it's God doing the speaking should be in red. Because I know they have, in some Bibles they have the Lord Jesus' words in red, but everything should be in red that God says also. And I said to him, I said, absolutely, but if that's the case, then I think the whole Bible should be in red. Because the whole Bible is the very Word of God. It is the words of God. And there is none more important or less important if you so prioritize them in the manner that they belong. Well, what do I mean prioritize them in so important? Listen, the Lord Jesus during the speaking said this. There are weightier matters of the law, and you should do the one without avoiding the other. Right now you're like, Brother Ryan, what are you talking about? Listen, I'm going to get to it. Because we're going to see that the handwriting of rules was against the Jews, as the handwriting of rules is against us. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Why was that given? Well, to the Jew, the handwriting of rules was written so that they might achieve righteousness. But for the Christian, the handwriting of rules was written so that we would know how much God has done for us. How many of you guys in your life have followed the Ten Commandments? Nobody. How many of you guys have followed the Ten Commandments today? Nobody. The Lord Jesus himself said, listen, you think you're good because you haven't murdered anybody, but the truth of the matter is, if you even say something ugly about somebody, you've murdered them. If you have watched a woman, you had sex with her in your brain. You've committed adultery. And what was he trying to say? Man, am I that filthy? No, here's what he was trying to say. You really need a Savior. You really, really need a Savior. Because if anybody desires to follow Christ without the blood of Christ, you better have followed every one of those commandments your whole life. I mean, let's say you did, and you get hit by a car crossing Hillsborough, and on your way down, I hate you. Over. And you know, the Lord says, the Bible says that if you've committed one, you're guilty of them all. But what we're going to look at tonight in the book of Esther, which you can turn there now, is what the Bible calls a foreshadowing or a picture. Some sections of Scripture are so blatantly pictures of others. If you remember, all through, again, the Old Testament, there is Christ on every page. There is the Lord in every book. There is the message of salvation, right back to Genesis. The proto-evangelium, Genesis chapter 3. A seed of the woman will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Then there's the picture of the doorposts and the lintel being wiped with the blood of the lamb. Then there's the amazing picture of Abraham and Isaac walking up on the mountain, and the Lord will provide himself the lamb. If these things I'm saying to you, some of you guys are like, yeah. But some of you guys are like, I don't know that one. Where is that? You've been missing out. Man, the Old Testament is so rich. I'm telling you, nothing will increase your faith. If you're in a dry place, if you're in a like, man, I've read the New Testament and I love it, but I don't know. It's kind of like, listen to me. The Old Testament will give you a perspective of the New Testament you cannot believe. Tonight's scriptures, chapter 8, the book of Esther. On that day, continuing also, by the way, our story that we've looked at, if you remember last week, we had that incredible three chapters 2 weeks ago. We covered three chapters where all of a sudden Haman's plot turned on himself and he's hanged. And all of a sudden Queen Esther enters. But we have one problem here, if you remember. The decree to kill the Jews has already gone out. The Antichrist has already set his plan in motion, having been finished with Haman. And as is the trick of the devil, he comes to you promising you life, and he brings you death. He promises to give you power, you wind up weak. He promises you riches, and all he does is rob you. Because the devil only came to kill, to steal, and to destroy, right? The devil is just a liar and the father of lies. And Haman really thought he was something. And the plan to kill the Jews is now, well, it's still in effect. And in about 8 or 9 months from the story we're reading, there is a decree that's gone out that cannot be changed, that everybody has the right to go and kill the Jews and take their stuff. It's law. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians. Cannot be changed or altered. And since the enemy was finished with Haman, he didn't really care if he was hung on a tree in front of his family. Right? That's where we pick up our story. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Well, here we have the story continuing. Esther is welcomed by the king. He held out the golden scepter, if you remember. Mordecai now receives the very signet ring, which means he can now be the second in command in all the nation of Persia, Babylon, Iran, all this 120. You know what? The Jews might go down, but oh well, I got power. Remember that saying? Don't forget where you came from. Remember, if you were here through studying of our word, at the beginning, Esther almost forgot where she came from. She was like, what can I do? The king will kill me if I go in and ask him permission. You guys remember that? Well, now, tempting the enemy, tempting Mordecai now. Hey, listen, forget about that whole plan. Let me take care of my business. How about if I give you a little power? Now, why would you say the enemy gives them power? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was the very enemy in Matthew chapter 4 that took our Lord Jesus and said, look over the kingdoms of the earth. All these I give to you if you'll just bow before me. Some would say, wait a second. The earth is not his to give. Oh, it absolutely is. The Bible actually says that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. And all you got to do is watch TV for 5 minutes to find out. No longer do we recognize our children by their faces. We recognize them by the hair pattern on the top, because this is all we get. Huh? What we should do is shave their heads, paint eyes and a smiley face on it. At least we'll see them smiling. Oh, you guys didn't like that, huh? Did I get you on that one? I wasn't trying, but Mom told me to say that before she came in. She said, she didn't, I'm just teasing. You had to see the look she just got. Mom! Mordecai and Esther have everything anybody could ever dream of. So why don't they just sit down and shut up? Well, why don't we? We have everything we want. Why don't we just sit down and shut up? Why don't we just leave the enemy alone? There's a famous saying, and I want to say it was somewhere in, not Ireland, but I don't remember, and I know my daughter will remember, Elena. All that it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. Isn't that like a Scottish philosopher or something? No, just give it like 10 more seconds, because Johnny, I see the smiley face on the top of his head right now and not his eyes. Do tell us, Johnny. Yeah. Yes, it was Braveheart, but no, it wasn't him. Edmund Burke. Wasn't he Scottish? Was that Scottish or Irish? Doesn't say? No, he wasn't. All it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. JFK didn't say that. And if he did, he was copying from somebody a little bit before his time. Edmund Burke, that's who it was, wasn't it? Huh? So how's the application to our life, and how's the application to what we're looking at? Hey, you know, young guys in here, I was a horrible kid as a teenager. I was horrible. I was a pack rat. And those who the pack told me to hate, I hated. Those who the pack told me to like, I liked. I hate the way I look back at my childhood, I look back at my teenage years, and I truly hate myself. I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, but I didn't come from a racist background or even a segregated background. My parents, we always had Hispanic, Black, Asian. We always associate with that. My parents were more city folk. I was from the suburbs of Manhattan, an area called Queens. But in my schools, everything was extremely segregated. The blacks hung out over here. The Hispanics hang out over here. The whites hung out over here. As a matter of fact, the Italians hung out over here. Some were the Jews and the Irish. It was extremely, extremely segregated. And when there was wars, there was wars. I mean, I don't want to sound in any way to make light of what happened, but a whole lot more than 17 kids got killed in my school in a year. No cameras. It's like that movie, you know, you remember that movie, Boys in the Hood? They either don't know, don't show, or don't care what goes on in the hood. But when it happens in a white school, oh, then they want to make noise. Now, again, I'm not a bleeding heart liberal white guilt person. I'm also not a racist, but I am a realist. There's an opportunity we have, and we must take our opportunities. And if it costs us, we must still act upon it, because the only thing it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. We can't do nothing. There's people dying all around us. We can't be so busy about our work or so busy about our school or so busy about our lives. Stand up for what's right. Speak for those appointed to die, the Bible says. I speak to you, teenagers. Don't follow the crowd. Do what's right. Now, it might be a little different now, because, and let me be real without being like, let me be real. In my neighborhood, we could have never dreamed that white girls were going to be with black dudes. We could have never dreamed that white kids were going to talk black. Never dreamed of it. Never, ever. So now that that's become popular, we have to find other ways to cross over the borders and boundaries to rescue those in need. Maybe it's the geeks who the sportos look down upon. Maybe it's the rappers who are making fun of the country. I don't know what way it is that you have the ability to affect change, since all barriers and borders are now completely blurred in one way or another. But the mob mentality, the mob rule, still must be broken down if we are to be effective. I got one of those prayers that my mother-in-law put in for that woman. And it said, so-and-so died. I don't know if she was saved. Wow. That's tough. Do you realize how horrible hell is yet? You better read a little bit about how terrible it is. Where the worm doesn't die and the fire is never quenched. So what is Haman and Esther going to do? Back to the Word of God, verse 3. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. Now you don't cry to the king. You don't show any depression. You don't petition him. That's certain death. You never show depression in front of the king. He'll think there's a plot and you're a part of it. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. That's an amazing thing. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If it pleases the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and this thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen?" I have regrets. I have regrets. And they burn through my mind of things that I didn't do when I was younger, in high school, in junior high school. Things that I could have done. I have these regrets. And I can't live with these regrets. And I cannot reverse these regrets, but I can move forward. This woman, this Esther, who, man, we do not exalt her bravado. We do not exalt her faith. We do not exalt her spirit enough. She had everything. Her cousin who raised her was now second in command of the whole kingdom. Her husband was the king of 127 countries, nations, provinces. She said, it's not enough. My people, they die. I must do something. When she came to the king and asked him to counteract, she asked him to nullify these written rules. Much like we ask now, the application of why I started from the beginning, there are written rules against us. Are these rules bad? Anybody? Is the word of God bad? Is the law of Moses bad? No, it's good. How else would I know where sin was? Then why did he give us rules we can't follow? Didn't give us rules we can't follow so we wouldn't follow them. He gave us rules we couldn't follow so we can go to the Lord Jesus. And you know how many people they want? They want relativism. They want moral, moral relativism, moral solvency. There's some amazing videos online. There's a guy, he's kind of out of his mind, but his name is Mark Dice. You know Mark Dice? He goes on the beach in Los Angeles and he asks people if incest is wrong. He says, excuse me. Hi, how are you? Good. Is incest wrong? And they go, excuse me? Yes. Is a man sleeping with his daughter sexually wrong? Oh, that's disgusting. Wait a second. Is homosexuality wrong? Oh, no, that's fine. Well, and he goes through the list of things that they're okay with, and by the end of the conversation, they're going, yeah, I guess it's okay. I guess it's okay if they're two consenting adults. And this is moral relativism. Is rape wrong? Depends what culture you're in. In some tribes in New Guinea and Africa, that's how you get a wife. You invade another village and you take her. Is that wrong? Well, if it's what they've been doing for thousands of years, why would it be wrong? That's because rape is always wrong. You see what we have happening here? These written rules, they're not bad. They're good. They show us where our morality lies. They also show us how much we need a Savior. Do you understand? Is this making any sense to you all? This is so important. Where did I leave off? Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. No one can revoke what the king, who's the king of kings? God's given us new rules. It's called the law of liberty. Doing right has no rule against it. But to him who does not do right and knows it, the Bible says in James, it's sin. We are called to do good. When I say, hey, guys, come visit the convalescent home, man. There's these old folks and they've been abandoned. They really need somebody to love on them. And like Steve said, bring the kids. They really love kids. My girls brought their two little puppies. Oh, my goodness. They loved it. They went crazy. I'm just, Saturday morning, that's my sleep-in day. Guys, come on. My job as a pastor, in case you don't know, is to encourage the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's my job. So if it sounds like I'm being a little legalistic tonight, quite possibly. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai had commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses bred from swift steeds. By this letter, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all the people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan the citadel. Please, again, there are many laws against us, and angels who look down upon us wonder why God has chosen such weak, unfaithful beings. The Bible says that we're made a little lower than the angels. Actually, that's kind of an understatement. We're made a lot lower than the angels. But yet he has crowned us with the glory. Do you realize, according to Scripture, all one-third of the angels left their heavenly abode to fight the battle with the enemy, Lucifer the devil? There are one-third of the angels, a whole host of them. You cannot count them. And their sole purpose is to rape, pillage, and steal everything you have. There is no good day for the devil. There is no satisfied moment. He shall not be happy until he drags you to hell with him. He wants your children on drugs. He wants your daughters as crack whores and prostitutes. He wants your sons in the street, weak, effeminate, useless. And he will do whatever it takes. I'm amazed at the depravity of our society. But you know what even amazes me more? In my 53rd year of life, 54th year of life, the bravado of it. Do you know who Bill Maher is? Bill Maher has a big show on HBO, makes $10 million a year. He's worth upwards of $100 million. He said he was hoping for a recession just so Trump can look bad. You rich, you know what? Do you know what a recession does to people's lives? The boldness of which they wish. Great saying. You got to hear this one. You ready? There is a section of the people that rather have us hit by an atom bomb rather than have Trump save us from an atom bomb. The media has gone absolutely bonkers. The bravado at which hate has filled the heart of these people. And it's hate. Forget about Trump. Who cares about him? It's hate for our country. It's hate for our way of life. There's another YouTuber, very well worth watching for the information. His name is Fleckas Talks. You watch Fleckas Talks? Excellent. He's from Los Angeles, but does a lot of traveling. He goes to all these, God bless you, darling. He goes to all these places where they protest. The last one he went to was a pride, they called it the Pride Parade in downtown Los Angeles. And he went there asking them what pride was and what this stood for. And one by one, they told him how it's for inclusivity and love and acceptance of all ways of life. And then after that, he asked him, he said, so what do you think is the biggest opponent to your gay way of life? And one by one, almost all of them said, this president we have, this new administration. And he said, well, can you tell me one thing that he's done against your way of life? Well, everything he's done. Can you just tell me one thing? And for 10 minutes, he interviews one by one, and not one of them can name one thing. But you know what they hate after you find out this video? They hate our country, they hate our president, and they hate our people. But they can't tell you why. They just do. And it's funny because they keep going back to this one very effeminate gay man. And he was at the beginning, he's like, it's about inclusivity and love and acceptance. And he's going through all this very flamboyant hand gestures and makeup. And he's got the feather boa. And then as soon as he mentions America and Trump, oh, I hate him. He should die in a car accident. And if I seen him, I'd grab him by the throat. And acceptance, and love, and understanding.
Man. They're the same people that wanted to go to France, but now they don't want to go.
They were all moving to Canada just a couple of days ago. I was willing to pay their ticket. And you know what's funny? This is great. They have this, I'm sorry to put it this way, but he's a little person. He's Brazilian. He's got a very thick Brazilian accent. I'm telling you, Fleca's just sitting down. Fleca's not a big dude. I say 5'10", 5'11". And he's like literally leaning down, and he's wearing like this.
Speedo?
Yeah, did you see it? No, it's like a little banana hammock. It's bad. But the dude was right on. He says, I don't know what everybody's so mad at Trump for. He don't do nothing to nobody. Me, where I come from, you get hit, they kill you. Here, I love everybody. I love you. I don't care if you're gay or not. It was like, hey, there's our talking point. But the dude was right on. He just shouldn't have dressed like that. And then they had another guy. He was like, you know, what's your opinion is? He goes, well, and he's dressed in like regular street clothes. He says, I'm a gay man. He says, but this is not gay. This is just weird. He says, I'm gay, but I'm not going to wear a feather boa and a G-string. He says, I just have my husband. He says, and I just think that this gives us a bad name. This makes other people look at us and go, oh, that's what gay people are? No wonder people are afraid of us sometimes. And I thought about that, man. That makes a lot of sense. If you're gay, why don't you just be gay and not worry about anybody else. Why do you got to dress like? And, I don't know.
You see what Robert De Niro did?
I don't know that strutz that he is. What happened?
I thought
Obama was going to bring us all together here. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's commanded decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Did you hear that? Did you hear what our job is now? We are given. Ken Graves has this song. We are called to be far more than earthly survivors. We are equipped to be far more than earthly survivors. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And with the authority of heaven upon us, we can defeat the enemy. We could run over a troop. He gave us feet as the feet of a deer so we can leap on heights high above our fears. What are we doing? I'm going to ask you a question. Have any of your friends given their lives to the Lord because they watch how you live. They see how you get through trials. Have any of them looked at you and said, dude, whatever it is you want, I gotta have it? I'm gonna ask you guys. Now, for you young people, you're here and you're saved less than 3-4 years. Listen, and get your solid foundation set. Let that cement dry. But if you're here and you're 5 or 6 years old or more in the Lord, and you can honestly say, man, I'm gonna call you on this one, guys. Something's going on here. It's a weakness of your faith or the poorness of your witness. Look at this again. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness. Apply it. In every command, in every city where a Christian was, what was brought to that city was not judgment, judgment. I didn't think of another word, so I'll just keep saying judgment. But it was joy and light. These two gay girls used to come to our Easter service. They were customers in our store for years, and they used to always come to Easter service. And I used to say to them, man, how come you, man, girl, why don't you come to, can I call you a girl? Man, what do I call you? Because now if you use the wrong pronoun, you're in big trouble. But I used to say to them, girl, how come you don't come out of church? Oh, well, you know, because, you know, no, tell me, what? Well, you know that we're gay, right? Yeah, I've known for a really long time. So why don't you come out to church? You know, people in church judge us. Ain't nobody in our church is ever going to judge you. Nobody cares who you lay down with at night. That's your business. That's between you and the Lord. What kind of church you got? Just a Bible-believing, teaching church. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people just use that as excuse. Like, you'll meet somebody, oh, I used to go to church. I don't go anymore because they judged me. Did they really judge you, or did they just tell you that you weren't living right? I mean, there's a difference between somebody caring about you. It's like, if you keep hitting your hand with a hammer, and your hand keeps swelling up and hurting, and somebody says, you know, you might want to stop hitting yourself in the hand with a hammer. Who are you to judge? You said your hand was hurting, and you've got a hammer in it, and you're hitting. Never mind. But the point is, we didn't come we were not called into this world with all the power that is within us by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus, to make people feel bad. To make when I love when to see young folk in here. I mean, this is the word of God. Do you like it? Is it enjoyable to you? I hope it is. I want you to say, that's the Bible. Mom, let's read this story later. I want you to find out. Esther, what a woman. I know that in schools they teach you guys that as Christians we look down on women and you can't do this. That's not true at all. Mary was amazing. Esther was a warrior. There's a girl named Deborah. She led the men into battle. Don't they? No, they don't want them to know that. Here's what we want you to know. Christians, they don't like you. They don't like you if you're gay. They want you to be subservient if you're a woman. Here's what they don't. You don't go to that Christian church. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. I wanted to say, and many of the people of the land became Christians because they loved them. Because they loved them. Okay, I've ranted enough for one night. The power of the enemy is defeated. The power of the law of God has been defeated by the blood of Christ. We are righteous because of Christ's sacrifice. We are holy because of His holiness. And we have the power to overcome any situation, whether that be fear, worry, doubt, vengeance, wrath, pain, sickness, whatever. We have it. I say, for me, it's time I start living like it. Not being afraid. Amen? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask you, please, God, to continue to Fill us with your word and the power of your word. We ask you, please, God, to help us to understand more. God, sometimes we get so confused when we read the Bible and we hear what people say and we read some more and we just don't understand it. God, please, your word says if we lack wisdom, we ask you. And that you give us wisdom and you don't find fault in us when you give us wisdom. Your word says that the secret things, they belong to us and our God. And you give it to the children of men. Your word says that we will find you when we search for you with all our heart. We need you, God, and we're not afraid to admit it. We love you, and we're not afraid to proclaim it. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen.